reporters are going to the polls today, they may be a little conflicted with some of these sexual misconduct allegations being leveled against him. The Republican told a local radio station he understands the dilemma that many voters face.
I know I've done nothing wrong, and I know that I don't want people to vote against their conscience. I think it's wrong. And, if I believe somebody did something that was immoral, I wouldn't vote for them. But, you know, I can't help what they believe.
In the very divisive left versus right mentality, and even something we see a lot of times on Capitol Hill, there is at least one thing folks can agree on. That's finding a cure for childhood cancer. Republican Congressman Mike McCall says why he formed the Childhood Cancer Caucus and how a little girl by the name of Sadie has been an inspiration for him and many others.
I formed the Childhood Cancer Caucus to give children like Sadie a voice and to pass legislation that can make a difference in their lives. And so Sadie really embodies the thousands of kids that are afflicted with this disease.
This is USA Radio News.
The holidays are a wonderful time of year, made even more wonderful when you're able to get all your packages out on time. So this holiday, ship them at Staples and get 10% off UPS shipping services. Staples is open 7 days a week and has all the mailing and shipping supplies you need. Staples. Shop, ship, smile. And right now, get 10% off UPS shipping services. Valid through 12/30/17. Exclusions apply. See associate for details.
USA Radio Network's UN correspondent Luke Vargas has a look at some stories making news in the world today.
China is reportedly building a series of refugee camps along its border with North Korea to accommodate a possible influx of North Koreans in the event of conflict on the Korean Peninsula. Documents leaked online in recent days suggest that the telecom giant China Mobile has been awarded contracts to set up internet networks in as many as 5 camps. While China's foreign ministry declined to comment on the camps, a source reached by the New York Times said construction of housing is already underway. Experts predict that China would receive the bulk of fleeing North Koreans in the event that Kim Jong-un's regime collapses, given that the border with South Korea is heavily mined. And the World Bank will stop financing upstream oil and gas projects beginning in 2020. It's part of a bid to help countries meet emissions targets spelled out in the Paris Agreement on climate change. The term upstream oil and gas refers to exploration and production projects, leaving the door open for the World Bank to finance oil and gas transport, refining, and distribution. The World Bank announcement comes as French President Emmanuel Macron convenes heads of state and business leaders in Paris for a special climate summit. On Monday, Macron awarded research grants to 13 American scientists as a part of his Make Our Planet Great Again campaign, which he launched after President Trump announced the intended U.S. pullout of the United Nations climate talks.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Huntin' Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Huntin' Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Hunterd In Chamber Internet Radio Station. This is Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. We're here on the station every Tuesday from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And you're listening to the right channel today because all of us who are either business owners or operators of a business or maybe startup entrepreneurs, we all need help from time to time. And this is the place to get that help. The name of the program is Teachable Moments in Business, and I'm happy today to share with you some great information. Well, actually, I'm not sharing it. My guest is Audrey Kirshner. Audrey is the owner of AK Solutions, AK Studios, and she has been an entrepreneur for a number of years. And welcome here to the program, Audrey.
Oh, thank you for having me again.
I'm glad you're here, and we're going to be getting into hearing some messages from some of our sponsors in the weather, and I am going to come back. But I'm so glad you're here today. You did come. When were you here last time? Was it early this year?
It was. It was this year. It feels like it was a lifetime ago. But
I know it does seem like a long time ago.
So much has happened.
That's so true. And we actually had a great conversation last time. And I wanted you to come back and share some more because you have a lot of insight about business and you have a lot of successes that. I would like you to share with us so that our listeners can get some good tips on how they can function well within their businesses in order to achieve their goals. So before we get started with our interview, we do have to listen to a word from one of our sponsors. We'll take a look at the weather, and we'll kind of take it from there.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. This is Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. Let's take a look at the weather. It was drizzling slightly when I came into the studio here in Flemington. We're located at the beautiful Chamber of Commerce building that's a very old building. I guess it's a Greek design building, but it's beautiful. And if you ever have a chance to come by to visit the Chamber, you really would appreciate seeing the work that's been done here. But in the meantime, it's overcast right now, and we're looking at a 70% chance of rain today with a high of about 43 degrees. So it's pretty mild today for December. Tonight, the skies will clear up with a low of about 19 degrees Fahrenheit, and the winds are expected to be between 10 and 15 miles per hour. Now, tomorrow, we're looking at sunny skies, gusty winds in the morning, and with a high of 31 degrees. The winds will be at about 20 to 30 miles per hour and could occasionally gust to over 40 miles per hour. Then tomorrow night, Wednesday night, cloudy with snow showers developing after midnight with a low of about 22 degrees. So but the snow accumulation is expected to be less than 1 inch. So when I come back for the next weather report, we'll take a look at the extended weather for the rest of this week. So my guest today is Audrey Kirshner, who owns AK Studios, which is... Audrey, where are you located? You're right here. Well, that's great. She's right here in Flemington, so you didn't have to drive too far to get here.
No.
Okay. No. I want to thank you for being here. You've been in business for how long?
7 years.
Seven years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, doing various things, but definitely always doing some form of marketing, you know, or graphic design, or you know, those type of things. But yeah, we've been an LLC for 7 years.
Why did you go in business?
Because I got burned out in agency life. Yeah, no, that's what I was working for, a big agency, Madison Avenue, New York, everything, and my family missed me, and so I decided, well, I could go work at another agency, and it would be the same thing, or why not try to do it myself, and it was really one of the best decisions I made. I didn't realize I was an entrepreneur until I became an entrepreneur, and I've never looked back, really, so.
Well, it's interesting. That you saw that was the direction that you should take. And a lot of people will try their own businesses after they get either burned out or they lose their positions and they decide that they want to have their own businesses. But a lot of them don't make it. I believe that passion is a driver, and I think you would probably agree with that. But sometimes people lack the ability to run a business, to manage it. But I see that you have a bachelor's degree in business management. That must have been a big help to you.
It was huge. I think that by having the ability to create the roadmap and then the passion to drive down the road was were the two key things that got us where we are today.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have to, you know, the business degree, what it did was it showed me what I didn't know, but where to figure out how to find it. So in other words, you know, I'm not an accountant, but I know where to find a really good one. I'm not a bookkeeper, but I know where to find a really good one. But some people don't even know that they need those people. Like when I talk to clients, I ask them, you know, do you have a bookkeeper? No. yeah, there's certain, one, you can't do everything yourself, and two, you got to know where to find good resources. That's probably like the biggest advice for brand new entrepreneurs I can give, is that know where to find the people to help you, because you can't do it all yourself.
That's very true. In fact, when I started my business in 1976, it was when my next door neighbor decided to get in the dog food business, and I said I'd help him sell it. And it turned out that he and I had different skills, but I had no business experience, firsthand as a sole entrepreneur. But I was able to figure it out. But a lot of it came, the success I had came from twofold. I graduated from Centenary College when it was a 2-year school and studied business courses, but and secretarial and administrative work. And then I was a customer trainer at Xerox Corporation. Then I became the first woman to sell for Xerox in the state of New Jersey. So I've been through all of their sales training programs. Those were the two elements that got me into a position where I was capable of starting a business. But I think you were ahead of me because of the education. I did not have that type of education. So I've been through what you might call Harvard on the highway, learning things as I went along. But I've been in business now for 41 years, so I guess it's okay. We made it that far.
Yeah, I think you did. I definitely think you did.
Now, after my partner and I split up, I was on my own for a couple of years, and that's when I realized I needed help. It was either stay in the business and get help or go do something else, because it became overwhelming for me. So my husband came into business with me, and we were together from 1989 until now. But a lot of couples can't make it. How long has your husband been working with you?
This is our first year of him being part of the business. But we've always talked about, ever since we got married, about having a business that's ours. And so, but we had corporate jobs and that type of thing. And then when I finally decided, okay, let's do the full service agency thing, he's like, that's great. He goes, I can do the websites. And I'm like, that's awesome, because I trust him so much, because he's brilliant. He's a brilliant software engineer. And he's much more organized than I am. And I'm an organized person, but he's like really crazy organized. And he can create and follow processes so well. And so we really complement each other. I'm the front end person, talk to the client, right, understand everything, bring it back, and then he just makes it happen. So I think we complement each other really well, and I'm really enjoying it. It's really nice to know that your partner and the person that you rely on so well to make sure what you say is going to happen happens, that you trust them like 150%.
Well, you're fortunate that it's worked out that way. My husband and I worked together pretty well too. I mean, I was the one with the ideas, and I gave him the systems that he had to follow. But he was very good with customers. In fact, when he first came with me, there were a couple of customers that I really didn't enjoy being with. So I said, I have some accounts that you can call on. And then this one lady called me up after he'd gone to see her. She was up in Rochester, New York, because we used to cover a whole Northeast from Maine to Virginia. And she called me up. She said, your husband was here. She said, he was great. She said, I really thought he was good. And I was so happy because I didn't particularly care to want to call on her.
Yeah, there's a personality for everybody, right?
There really
complimentary.
Is. Yeah. And I think, too, that it's a good idea to have a man and a woman in a business, because some customers gravitate more toward the women, the woman, or some toward the man. And the same is true. I do a lot of trade shows. And again, it's a good idea to have that the mix in that booth, because again, people will gravitate to certain individuals.
Absolutely,
there's a comfort level, so I think that's a really good idea. Now, I teach classes at Raritan College, and currently I'm teaching a business plan class. And tomorrow night's my last of 3 nights. And it's my last class for the year. Thank goodness, I'm ready to take some time off. But there's a woman in there who just retired. She's a scientist, and she had just retired from her corporate job, and she's going to start her own business. But her husband has his own business, and she has so many ideas. And she has asked me for advice that she wants to share with him. But he doesn't want to talk. He doesn't want her involved, and she's more than willing to help out and even stay, behind the scenes, because it's his business. He's owned it for about 5 years or so. But she's just afraid they would not get along. She said he's very hard to work with. So there are some couples that just can't make it.
Yeah, she needs to trust her gut on that one. Yeah. Because you know when things get tense or that kind of stuff, that's when things can kind of start to crumble a little.
Yeah.
Even, or you're tired. You're trying to work on something, and one of you is tired or hungry,
right,
and things can go awry very fast. So if you know from the outset that it's not good, think about what it's going to be like when you get to that point. So, she can do her own thing.
She's starting some consulting business in the scientific field that she was working in. So
wonderful.
She's better off. But she's very she has insight about business, too, I can just tell. So I'm sure she'll do well with her business. But I think it's hard when you have a husband and wife working together in a business. It's the difficult – well, I wouldn't say it's difficult. The issue, I think, is that there's no separation between personal life and your business life. It's all – I mean, you could be having dinner with your family and talk about business.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? It's just – it's because it's all part of – it's your life.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
There's no division, really, I don't think. It's all runs together.
No, but I think you have to have the ability to say, okay, I can't talk about that right now.
Yeah.
Let's wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
or Christmas shopping's more important.
Right.
We'll talk about the website tomorrow. Let's get Christmas shopping done tonight.
That's what sometimes we'll say in the evening, okay, let's agree to have a meeting first thing in the morning at 8:30 and we'll talk about
it.
Then,
oh, so. We've done that too.
Yeah.
It's like and you know, I've been married 18 years now, so my husband knows we don't talk about things after 7 o'clock because my brain shuts down. But I'm like, let's talk about that Saturday morning. He's like, okay, we'll do that.
So I think we can tell our audience that if they are thinking of working with a spouse, it can be done. And you just have to have a way. You have to have an agreement as to how you're going to function
absolutely.
With one another and who's going to do what.
And who's going to be in charge of what, and who has
exactly.
veto power in which categories.
Exactly.
You know, there's places he can override me, and there are areas I can override him. And as long as we respect that, we'll be good. That's why I say to him, I was like, that's your bailiwick.
Yeah.
If you say that's what we're going to do, then pull it off.
Go for it. Okay, well, we have a word from some of our sponsors, and we will be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business here on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio Station. So thank you for listening, and this is especially a good day for you to be listening to our program. In fact, I hope you have a pencil and paper handy just to take some notes, and if you want to listen to it once again, you can do so. Just go to the website, and you can look into the archives and look for today's date, Teachable Moments in Business, and you'll get to hear my guest, Audrey Kirshner, the owner of AK Studios, share information with us, and which is always really, really top-notch. We were talking about relationships with our spouses when we are both engaged in the business, but let's talk more about relationships with customers. So
yeah.
That's a good segue, isn't it?
It's perfect. We love customers. Yay!
Yeah. I looked at your website, and it's very well done. It's I like the fact that you have four key bullet point facts and statements that you've made here on the website, which is a WordPress website, which is a lot of people do recommend WordPress. Is that the one that your husband works in?
Yes.
If he works on websites?
I would say 99% of the websites we build, we use WordPress. Some of it is, out-of-the-box templates, mm-hmm. and others is 100% customizable. But the beautiful thing about WordPress is it's easy to secure. It's really the top of its game. And the nice thing is if you want to hand it over to a client so they can edit themselves, you can. And because there's features in there that allow them to change their text, their pictures, but it's still highly, highly customizable. It's a wonderful tool. It's come a long way since it launched many years ago.
Well, I was a speaker at the American Small Business Development Center's annual conference down in Nashville in September. There were 140 presentations, and I did two. They ran for an hour and a half altogether. But anyway, I went to hear some other speakers talked about technology and online resources, and they all talked about WordPress being the one that you should be using.
Yeah.
So that impressed me. But anyway, going on, you featured four different concepts on your website, and the first one is preceded by the quote by Seth Godin, who happens to be one of my favorite speakers and authors on business topics, and he made the statement, "People do not buy goods and services. They buy relationships, stories, and magic." So I do agree with that. You obviously do.
I do.
What are some of when you're working with a client, what are some of the thoughts that come to mind based on the statement that he made?
I try to look at their brand and what they're trying to accomplish from the client's perspective. And I know that for everybody that at least I work with, there's 9 other people out there, or God forbid, 90 other that do the same thing. So what you have to do is help people figure out why you and not them. And that's the dream, right? You have to show them the dream. You have to show them the possibility. And I think the brand or the company that shows that is going to get the business, if that makes sense.
Right.
And that's what we strive to do. It's like really, really telling people about the possibilities mm-hmm. of what this could be and telling the story of it.
So in other words, you as a service provider build the relationships with your customers. You understand what they do, what their goals are, what their strengths are, I guess you could
absolutely.
Say. And, and of course, people buy stories. They buy why people do what they do.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, they do. They want to. If they buy something, they want to love everything behind it. Especially in today's age, it's you're buying the full package.
Yeah.
You're buying the company. You're buying the product or the service.
Yeah.
And you need to be able to tell the whole entire story. So I always start out with any part of it is, what are your goals? What are you trying to do with your company? I mean, that's where I start. Everything else I consider tactile, mm-hmm. or tactical details. Mm-hmm. Colors are great, images are great, but what do all of these things, what are we designing to do? What are we creating here? And what's your primary objective? Is it to grow? And to grow how much? Because mm-hmm. what I do will directly affect which direction that goes in. So I always start with their company business goals before we start talking about marketing tactics.
Okay, and then speaking of tactics, what are from a common standpoint with many of your clients, what are some of the tactics that you work on to help them out?
Well, there's so many. I always get tongue-tied at this point because I'm like, we do everything. So we always do websites, and then we do advertising. I have not a competitor. She's not my competitor. I love her so much. I have someone else in the industry. What she says is that building a website and expecting people to come is like taking a left shoe and putting in the desert and hoping that somebody stumbles upon it that needs a left shoe in that size.
That's a good story in itself.
Yeah. So you know, you can build the website and you can get the business cards and the brochures, but ultimately goal for all of that is to be able to share it with someone. And that's what advertising and marketing really is, the campaigns. It's getting the word out. It's the sharing part of it. And having those things for people to look at is secondary. But for some reason, people start – well, you got to have those things to start with. But right. Then they don't finish. And you got to finish with doing your online and offline advertising. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to get them to do is to finish. And that's one of the areas that we excel at most is getting people – getting eyeballs on their stuff, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term.
So you start with a website.
Yeah.
And if you can just conjure up a case study in your mind, mm-hmm. That where you're helping with a client, what would be some of the other things you would do? You develop the website, you know who their target audience is, you know what their goals are. So, I'm sure you believe what I do is you have to encircle your target audience with an awareness using the different tools that you're capable of putting together for your clients. But what are some of those tools that you would use?
I mean, I definitely believe in the blanket approach, and I teach the blanket approach. Half of what I do is education.
Oh, okay.
But just to get them to understand that I'm not just trying to spend money to spend money. There's a whole system around how we do this. Mm-hmm. And it's that blanketing approach where you can do print advertising, and then you do online advertising, and then you do your search engine optimization. And all of that happens at the same time so that when someone looks left, they see you. When someone looks right, they see you. When they look on their phone, they see you. And the more they see you, all of a sudden a trust starts to happen, even if they haven't interacted with you. It's amazing. Familiarity breeds trust. And visually, when you keep seeing the same thing over and over again, that breeds familiarity, which breeds the trust. But when I have a client that says, listen, I can only start one of these things right now. Today, right now, I tell them to start with social media.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the most economical and easiest way to get eyeballs onto your website and more important, your branding. Because you can brand your Facebook page. So even if they don't decide not to leave Facebook, they're still getting to see you over and over and over again. But then I also like them to do what's called search engine optimization, ongoing, meaning they're constantly getting organic looks. And another piece of that, which is I find very fun, is content marketing, where you're not per se writing a blog on your website. What you're doing is you're having content created on your behalf on other blogs and channels where they already have a very large audience, 10,000 people, 15,000 people.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, and your content gets put there as opposed to trying to get all these people to come to you. You go to them as opposed to trying to be the destination. And then it flows back to you because then they click on your website link, your bio. You can have a call to action in there where they then come back to you. So it's actually becoming a very good marketing avenue to do. We call it influential blogging, content marketing, but it's a great way. So those are the top things.
Interesting.
That you can do.
When I was down in Nashville, several of the speakers made the comment, if you can't be found online, you don't exist. And that really, people don't think about how important it is to be available and to be findable online. They think, or some people just say, well, I have a website, and they think that's adequate. Some people think that having a Facebook page is adequate, but as what I've learned, and you can reinforce this one way or the other, that because you don't own your content on Facebook, they could cut you off.
Absolutely, they could. And the thing is that Facebook is good to see what you're saying day to day, but to legitimize you, they'll look at Facebook and go, oh, I like this. Let me go look at their website. And if you don't have one, that puts a red flag up because they're like, wait a minute. Why can't they not afford a website? They love their business enough to have a website. Yeah. It's more of a legitimate thing. It's like that last piece in place to say, yeah, I trust this company because they got a great website. And if it's a bad website, that's not good either.
Yeah.
So you do need, there are certain things, just like before the internet, you had to have a business card. You had to have a brochure. Well, guess what? Today you have to have a website.
Yeah, you don't have a choice.
You do. You have to have the website, and you really need a Facebook page. Even if you're a B2B, someone's going to go look for it or look at it or want to share content from it, and you really need to have it. But at the very least, you have to have the website, even if it's just one page. And by the way, one-page websites are becoming much, much more they're becoming the new trend.
Really?
And the reason is that more people are looking at websites on handheld phones, on their devices, and it's easier to scroll with the finger than it is to try to push a button. So the more information you put on that homepage that they can just scroll through, the more content that they're going to get exposed to.
So that's interesting. So in other words, we're not worrying about what's above the fold?
We are on desktop, but there is no such thing as a fold anymore with the phones.
Yeah.
And the less clicking you make them do, the happier they are because it's easier. Like I said, scroll with the thumb versus trying to make sure that they click on the right button on that tiny screen. So
that's really interesting. I think sometimes when I look at a website that does go on and on just on the original page, I think it's cumbersome, but there's a reason for it is what you're telling me.
And it's a fine line between those infomercial sites where you're scrolling for 3 days just to get to the information you want. These one-page sites, all your salient information is there within maybe a few flicks of the thumb, and then you're at the bottom. It's not forever. You know, it's a fine line. Those are like Fugazi type sites and, you know, legitimate sites. And then maybe you do have one or two click offs where if you want them to go to a contact us page or something like that, but at least all the meat is sitting right there on that homepage. So that's becoming much more prevalent as opposed to having 6 or 7 pages with a little bit of content.
Yeah.
One page with more content is okay.
That's really, really interesting. Are there any number of words that you would put on a page? Is there any rule of thumb?
No, actually, and people scan website pages. They, I mean, unless it's an article, they're not really reading. So you got to have like good, really good catchy headlines to get them to read the paragraph or two that you put underneath of it, or maybe even one paragraph. So we save the big content for blogs.
Yeah, people don't read a lot, nowadays. So I can see that would be the case. I have other questions, but we have to switch gears here a little bit. There's going to be a news break. We'll take a look at the weather, and we'll continue talking.
Okay.
USA Radio News.
Switching to a merit-based system like they have in CAP, ending change migration. Switching to a merit-based system like they have in Canada. Welcoming the best and brightest and turning away the terrorists, gang members, and criminals.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions today calling on Congress to reform immigration laws after yesterday's terror attack in New York City. During a speech in Baltimore today, Attorney General Sessions warned we can no longer wait and added that this is a national security issue. Congressman Peter King says he's a fan of extreme vetting, but not for the same reasons as President Trump and Attorney General Sessions.
I think the president is totally right on that. We do have to have extreme vetting, but it's not because of chain migration. It's because of immigration altogether.
Congressman King of New York also said it's wrong to call these sorts of attacks lone wolf attacks. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, guys, this is Larry King. Are you sick and tired of prostate pills that don't work? I've got great news for you. I had prostate problems that were driving me nuts. I tried several different natural products. None of them worked. One day I heard about Prostagenics. It beat over 157 other prostate supplements in independent lab tests and was rated number one most powerful prostate supplement in the world. So I got some Prostagenics, and boy, am I glad I did. Now my prostate troubles are a thing of the past. I sleep like a champ. I feel like I did 20 years ago. do yourself a huge favor. Do what I did and get yourself some Prostagenix.
Prostagenix sells for $49 in stores. But call right now because we're letting as many men as possible try Prostagenix with our free bottle offer. So call 1-800-550-4512 right now. That's 1-800-550-4512. Call 1-800-550-4512.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business here in, at the Flemington location for Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio Station. Just to give you a little heads up here on the weather, it was starting to get a little drizzly when I came in here Tuesday afternoon, and the sky is supposed to be clear this evening. Now, tomorrow, we're looking at a few clouds from time to time with gusty winds and winds that could be occasionally gusting over 40 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night, cloudy skies with late night snow showers, but perhaps less than 1 inch. Then take a look at Thursday, flurries or snow showers possible. Early in the day, cloudy, it will be cloudy early and becoming mostly sunny in the afternoon with a high of around 33. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low of about 16 degrees Fahrenheit. And let's just take a peek at Friday, what's happening Friday. A few flurries or snow showers possible, and Friday night, partly cloudy skies. So the weather's actually been pretty mild for this time of year so far. So we've been talking with Audrey Kirshner, who is a wonderful entrepreneur. She's been in business for about 8 years, I think you told me, Audrey, with your business. That's about how long
I think we are.
And she started it out of frustration working in the corporate world, so she was ready to start her own business, and she has a great education background and a good business background, which enabled her to launch a business and to be successful. And we've been talking about the services that she offers her clients and helping them to market their businesses in order to reach their goals. One of the couple of things that you just mentioned in our last little chat here, the Contact Us page is always curious to me. A lot of times I try to find, I'll read a website in order to find out more about the company, and then I may decide to want to call the people. There are websites that do not have the phone numbers on those websites, and that just bugs me. I think that a contact page, and you can comment on this, but I think a contact page should give people a choice of ways to reach the owner of the company, whether it could be the office phone number, it might be a cell number for texting possibly, there might be a form that they would fill out. Also, some website contact pages don't even have the address of the business, which really bugs me. And sometimes I think if a company doesn't have their street and their mailing address that they wanted, I think to myself, why? What are they hiding? Why don't they tell us where they're located? I know that in my business, if I had the name of somebody to call, I'd want to know where they're located before I called them, because it may be that there would be a connection that I could make with them. Maybe they know somebody, or I know somebody in the town where they live, or there may be some activity that we could discuss that would help to build that relationship before we even got into business discussions. But anyway, do you have any comments on being reachable?
I agree with you. I think if you want a client, you have to talk to them the way they want to be spoken to. Some people are email people, some people are text people, and some people are phone people. And I even know people that are in-person people. And so if it's not there and that's your preferred communication venue, then you are missing an opportunity, because, you know, if it's not easy for them to reach you, then they're not going to reach you. And then the other thing is the credibility factor, which you laid out perfectly, that you don't have a brick and mortar to walk into. So that Contact Us page that has all those salient details are the brick and mortar, if you think about it, right?
Yeah.
The address, the telephone number, the contact information, even a way to text or maybe chat. It breaks down one less barrier. It makes things just ever so slightly easier for them to want to engage. And that's what you want, is the engagement. That's the purpose of all of this, is to get them to engage with you. And you have to make it as easy as possible to do that.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, that perfectly sums up what you were saying. It's like, well, you know, if I have these reservations, I'm not going to reach out.
That's exactly right. I knew a woman that who's a business consultant, and a couple of years ago I saw her phone number, and I'm a sleuth. So I looked up the phone number in exchange and found that she was living in, we'll say, Basking Ridge, New Jersey. I forget what town it was. But then I looked at her mailing address, and it was in Morristown. So I looked up the address in Morristown, and it was one of those mailbox companies on the center square in Morristown. And I thought, well, why is she not being consistent? And that bothered me a little bit. But I know there are people that are afraid to put their home address
a lot of home entrepreneurs,
They are very concerned about. But, you know, I've had my same mailing address for my home. I have an office wing attached to my home, but it's not a place that people come. I've never had someone knock on my door because they found my address online.
Yeah, so, usually it's for mailing purposes. But you're right. There are people that are concerned about that. And what I tell my clients is, you know, if you don't want to put the street address, that's fine. But to your point, put a city and state. At the very least, that helps with search engine optimization. Because if you're a service provider and you service a specific area, that information needs to be on your website so that when someone Googles the phrase, looks for kitchen cabinet makers, they're gonna look at their geography setting and bring you up if you're close to them. But they need to know where you are. So a lot of times too, Google will do with their places. You'll put your whole address in there, and you can say show it or don't show it. But at least it still helps with the search engine rankings.
Right. And of course, people could always have a P.O. box, too. And also on the websites, they
absolutely
could say they serve. Let's say they're here in New Jersey. They may say that they serve people in Somerset or Hunterdon counties. At least that, to me, in my mind, that grounds them as to where they're physically located. I was just given a bunch of phone numbers recently for people who would do handyman work and clean up leaves and do snow plowing. And in some cases, I just got the telephone. I want to patronize somebody who's close by, and these are 800 numbers. I don't know where they're located.
Right.
And in some cases, they don't have websites either.
That goes back to something we discussed before, the weather. But you're right. If someone puts on their site, you know, it's like, these are the areas I service. I live in this community.
Yeah.
Even if they don't put their physical address, they've done the job of claiming where and who they are and what they stand for. And that's another great thing about an About Us page. It's like, if you put a picture of yourself up there or something representative of you and talk about your background a little bit, that gets you that one step closer.
It does. And it's good that you brought that up. A lot of the About Us pages that I read really don't tell you who the people are. They just give a general description of the people who run the business, but you don't know physically who they are. There are no pictures of them. I believe that we do business with people, not companies. And I don't know what you think about this, but I tell people you need to have your headshots on there or take a picture of yourself and working or maybe talking to a client. At least they know you're a warm body.
Yes.
And if they ever see you somewhere, they can acknowledge knowing who you are.
Yeah, seeing the face behind it.
Yeah.
Is, again, it's one of those things that brings the barrier down. But I have so many clients who are like, oh, I don't want to see a picture of myself up there. And very lovingly, I say to them, this isn't about you.
Yeah, that's true.
Your website is not for you. It's for your clients. So give me the picture.
Yeah, exactly.
Or I had one client where he gave me a picture. I'm like, I don't like it. I'm going to take a new one, okay?
Yeah.
But he was wonderful. He was like, I hate this. I'm like, okay, smile a little more. He goes, okay. And the picture came, I thought was fabulous. He's like, I don't even want to see it. You just pick it out and put it up there. I'm like, okay, I will. I promise I'll do the best one. But he really got the fact that this wasn't for him.
Yeah.
And that it was for his clients.
For the clients.
And he's
had,
like, yeah.
I had a fellow who was a general contractor, and he was a home builder. And I suggested that he have his picture on the website, and he'd had a picture taken with himself talking to a client in a half-built house so he could see the rafters.
That's perfect.
That's exactly what I was looking for.
That says so much with one look.
It really does, that's for sure. The other thing is you talked about in the past we always had to have business cards and brochures and so forth. We still need business cards, and what really gets me is another – that's one of my pet peeves – I'll do a trade event, and I'll say to someone, hand me your business tape. I'd like to have your business card. They give it to me, and as they're walking away, I look at the card, and there's no address on it. Sometimes there's a website, but there's no address on there. Sometimes their names or their titles are not on their cards. People do not put information. They assume and expect people to go to the website to figure out who they are and where they're located. And I think that is so wrong. If somebody gives you the card because they're interested in doing business with you, maybe I want to send them something in the mail, or there's some further other arrangements I want to make. But their cards don't have any information it's not complete.
Yeah.
So sometimes if I'm at a trade show, I go running down the aisle to get them.
They're making you work too hard.
Yeah, they are, yeah. But I think people are just not thinking about where those cards go. They're not thinking about the actions that people are going to take.
Exactly. They're not the marketer, right? Yeah. If they had someone design that card for them, we ask the question, address, no address, why not?
Yeah.
Telephone number, cell, mobile, both. And then they think, website. Website has to be on there? Yeah, put the website on there. Yeah, don't make them work too hard to find you.
Well, it's a good thing that you do what you do.
Yeah, there's a reason. We ask those questions. We have a little template that says name, address, company. You know, we make sure all the buckets are filled in.
We're going to break for some messages from our sponsors, and I want to come back, and I want to talk about the second statement that you have on your website, and the quote you have here is, successful brands of the future care about people, not brands. And so let's talk more about the brands and what's important and how people cater to their customer, how the brand caters to their customers. So here we go. We're going to have some messages here.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Teachable Moments in Business on the Hunterdon Chamber Internet Radio Station. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. And Audrey Kirshner is my guest today. She owns a business that helps companies develop their presence on the Internet and as well as offline so that they can achieve the goals of whatever the business might be. And we had talked about branding and how does a company build a successful relationship with their customers? You know, Audrey, in reading the statement on your website, this is on your homepage, you talk about successful brands of the future. There are people that are market drivers, and there are people who are market driven. A market driver is someone or a company that says we do this and we do that. Usually it's to build, it would be to build a business and to build growth in their own businesses. But a company that's market driven, in other words, they're paying attention to the customers and what's important to them. And I kind of think that, that what that statement really means on your website.
That's exactly it. It's taking the ego out of your brand. I like to think about it is like, okay, you know, am I trying to force my client or my potential client to work the way I want to, or am I really looking at my industry and creating solutions or services or product that solve their problems?
Right. And we as business owners, our job is that of being a problem solver.
Yes.
That's what we're there for, as opposed to trying to typically shove things down people's
throats. Correct. That's it. You know.
Now, there are companies that do that that are successful, but it's a different mindset. So you and I are on the same page, I think. We want our customers to be heroes. We want them to feel the success and to enjoy the rewards that come from that relationship.
Absolutely. And I try, when I sit down and talk with a client, I talk about problem solving. You know, what problems do your clients have? How are you trying to solve their problem? And sometimes I get a look and go, and I hear, okay, yeah, I know where you're going. Now I understand. It's like, why do you do what you're doing? Because that's how we're going to build your brand, is to figure out what problems they have and solve them, because it's so much easier, because then you talk in that language to them. Here I understand you, and here's how I can help you fix it. You know, all of a sudden someone goes, oh my gosh, thank you. I'm so glad that you're talking to me this way, versus I don't care what you have to say. You need this, you need this, you need this. Yeah. We're kind of done with that as a society. You know, I think we're maturing out of that, you know.
Yeah.
There's maturity cycles in markets, and I think we're maturing out of that, where once it worked many years ago, and it just doesn't now.
It reminds me, last night I taught a class on networking skills, and we went through an exercise on elevator speeches, and also we did a breakout session where I had the people, it was a very small class, but I had people break down to just a pair of people talking to one another, like saying, how did you start, you know, what do you do, how did you start your business, tell me more. And the one person in the class, I said, well, tell me about your business. And right away, she launched into what the business does, why she does it, which was good. But it was based on her passion of wanting to what she wants to do. She never once said, in so many words, well, people have certain problems or concerns, so we build a business to resolve them,
yeah.
Which is what her business does. But that's not the way she explained
right.
it. And for that reason, there was something compelling that made me feel like I need to know more.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
It's I just, do. I know exactly what
she,
you mean.
It was all about her, and it was all about the business.
Right.
And people, business people just don't realize, and you said it earlier today, it's all about the customer and
it
what's
really
important
is.
To them
yeah.
and solving their problems. And you can talk. When I give one of my templates, and it's not set in concrete, but one of the templates that they can use for writing, or as well as for using as a template for elevator speech, which typically would run for about 30 seconds, I say, you know, state the concern that people have that you're speaking to, because you've asked them questions or you've studied them before you start talking. And then to go on to say what you do to address those concerns, and then you offer what the benefits will be. And sometimes I'll ask people, what are the benefits? And they'll start out by saying, well, the benefits are that I can help them do this. I said, no. What are the benefits that they get?
Exactly. What do they get?
What do they get?
Yes. Not what you get, what they get.
So after we went back and went through the sequence, I had the woman, and I also precede the benefits with the words which means. Because
mm-hmm.
which means are what that's what I call the keep your fork statement. Did you ever hear that before?
No, I love that keep your fork.
you know, and I said, just as a sidebar here, if you're at a dinner with family or friends and it's been a beautiful dinner and everybody's clearing the table and they say, okay, keep your fork. So what do you think when you hear that?
dessert.
Dessert's coming, right?
Right. I love that.
Like
I'm so going to use that.
You can use it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So, and you can use the left shoe one, too.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, we pass that one around a lot.
So the which means builds up to the grand finale, which is the benefit. That's what people buy. They don't buy what you do.
No.
They buy what they get. So when we went through this exercise, as we continued on it, I had her speak again. And then she said, which means, and then she started, the first word was you. And I said, you got it.
There you go.
That's what it is. You got it. The words you and your are most important. In fact, when I critique a website or sales letter or brochure, I usually, and if it's a hard copy, I'll have a yellow and a pink highlighter. And for every you or your in that document, I highlight it. And if it says I, we, me and us and my, that's in pink. And you can very quickly see who the article is written about.
And oh, that's such a good way to do it.
If you see more pink, you know it's written about the writer. It's not written about the customer.
Right.
So it's a great exercise to go through, and I sometimes show that to people. I'll do that when they come in for counseling with me.
That's such a good idea because it visually represents what you're telling them, and then they get it just that quick.
It really does. The other thing is a friend of mine who has left the area, and she retired to, I think she's in Arizona now. But she, I don't know where she came up with this, but she said for every 4 to 6 times that you use the word you or your, you should only have one reference to yourself. So it's almost a 4 to 6 ratio to 1.
Yeah.
And it's a really good idea.
I like that.
And it gets people thinking about it. And what's interesting to me is, and we talked about this with my guest, Deborah, last week, you can write something the way you normally would write it, but you can switch it around very easily to get rid of the personal references.
Oh, absolutely.
Instead of saying, we have a great such and such in our program, you could say, you will discover a great resource.
And she's so right. It's funny, when I write something myself, thank God I have content writers on staff, I do that. I write everything. And then I look at it and go, oh, there's too much of me in here. Let me switch everything up. Let me go to Grammarly.
That's right.
Grammarly, save me.
Yeah, so it's... oh, gosh. So we've talked about a number of things here today. I hope our listeners have a pencil and paper handy with some of the tips we've discussed.
Yeah, there's a lot of meat in this one.
Yes, there is, as usual. You're going to have to come back again.
I don't mind.
I love having you here, so you're terrific. But I would like you to share with the listeners how they can get hold of you, phone number, websites, and so forth.
Absolutely. So the website is audreykerschner.com, AudreyKerschner. My telephone number, which is my cell, is 908-963-1509. You can call, you can text. I'm good with all of it. And my email address is afkerschner, K-E-R-C-H-N-E-R, @gmail.com. I'll keep a lookout for smokestacks too. I'll come running if I see them, my name spelled out in smoke. I'm good with that
okay,
too.
Okay, that's good. Well, that's good. And do you have any shows, any trade events coming up, any speaking, anything else going on?
I'm looking at the calendar for January. We had talked about this before we came on air. I'm starting to work with interior designers mm-hmm. as my niche. Not that if someone calls me that's not an interior designer, I will help them. But if I'm going to be out in the world, I have a kinship with interior designers that I feel very close to them. And so I'm a member of ASID.
Oh, you are?
I am.
Oh, that's very good.
I am. I just did one show with them, and then there's events that are going to come up, but I'm also on their communication team. So I'm actually writing for them on marketing topics to help that industry in the area. So that's where I'm going to be spending most of my time coming up.
Thank you. I'm impressed with that. That's really, really good. I've known people involved in that organization, so it sounds like a good place for you to be.
Oh, they're fantastic. Yeah. I'm so excited. My first article is actually going to be published in the winter edition that's going to come out in the next couple of weeks. So
that's cool. That's really
nice. There'll be pictures of it on my website and Facebook page.
Very good. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening today. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan. I own Russmore Mentoring Group. Anyone who feels that it's time to do some brainstorming and to get some input on ideas and concerns about their businesses need to give me a call. My phone number is 908-832-9544, and my company is Russmore Mentoring Group. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.